你试试。
My name is Brian Bonner, and I welcome you all to the Splatter Section, your front row seat to everything in the world of horror. It is Friday, April 15th, 2011, and I am coming to you from outside Rave Cinemas in Perrysburg, Ohio, for the opening night of Scream 4. And I gotta say, the atmosphere was awesome. There was quite a crowd here waiting to get in before the movie started. A lot of horror fans chatting it up with each other, talking about the movie, making predictions, all that good stuff to keep the excitement alive. Inside the screening room, it was chaos. People were frantic, screaming at almost every turn, throwing popcorn, yelling at the characters. One guy, who shall remain nameless, even screamed louder than any of the girls during one scene. All in all, the opening night experience was one of my favorites. Now, the movie itself was something that I surely won't forget anytime soon either. The plot for Scream 4 follows a lot of the same formula as the original, which made it easier to enjoy. It's been 10 years since the first murders in Woodsboro, and Sydney Prescott returns home on her last stop of her book tour. But things don't exactly go as planned as the murders start up again. Now, Sydney must again work with Sheriff Dewey Riley and his wife Gail Weathers Riley to catch the killer and protect her family and the rest of the residents of Woodsboro. Joining the original three Scream veterans is a rather smart cast of young and up-and-coming talent like Emily Roberts, Hayden Panettiere, Rory Culkin, Anthony Anderson, and Adam Brody, among many others. Roberts plays Sydney's cousin Jill, and she brings something interesting to the movie. Her initial distrust of Sydney, labeling her as the Angel of Death, is a unique take because she has a hard time trusting the only person who can truly save her from the Ghostface killer. Panettiere plays Jill's friend, Kirby Reed, a high school film buff that soon finds herself thrown into a real-life horror film. And her acting, I have to say, is what stole the show for me. Scream has always been one of those franchises that launches the careers of young talent in Hollywood, and this one didn't disappoint. Panettiere brought a fresh, smart, and funny presence to the film that really had me rooting for her throughout. Another great performance was that of Rory Culkin. He played Charlie, a film geek that, alongside his friend Robbie Mercer, run a cinema club out of Woodsboro High School that plans to have a party to celebrate the first murders by showing all 7 Stab films in order. One thing I really liked about this movie was the fresh take on the rules of how exactly to survive a horror movie. For those of you who aren't exactly familiar with the Scream franchise, those rules were established by Jamie Kennedy's character Randy in the first film and have been changing with every sequel. Well, this film focused a lot on remakes, and that is what the new rules are based off of. In Scream 4, someone is patterning their murders off of the original Stab film, and therefore patterning themselves off of the original Scream. Though this type of remake is different. Right off the bat, these characters establish a new set of rules that reinvents what a remake is. First, the unexpected is the new cliche. That means anything you think might happen won't. Second, the killer must now be filming the murder to change up the game and keep things original while still remaking the movie. And finally, like Charlie said, Sydney is no longer victim royalty. She can no longer be spared just because she survived the first three. And that rule is tested to the fullest extent on numerous occasions when Ghostface tracks her down and puts her strength to the test. Something that I had a little bit of a problem with was the ending. In every Scream film, there is always that big reveal, the moment when we all find out what we should have known the whole time. While surprising, part of this climax didn't quite stick with me. I just didn't buy it. While I saw what the writers were trying to do and I appreciated it, I just couldn't get past my feelings that they were trying too hard to make the biggest twist ending possible. By the time we find out who has been behind the murders, is initially surprising, but soon turns out to be just too much. After the traditional killer monologue and the big fight between the murderer and Sydney, it seems like the ending is taking the film in a direction that has never been through before, and I got excited about that. Then, just when I thought the movie was over, bam, it wasn't. Like one of the characters said, it should have ended at the house. And I agree, with these movies, it should always end at the house. But this one didn't, and I feel that it took way too long to finally get to the conclusion. When we finally did come and the credits rolled, I was left feeling a little tired, slightly satisfied, and curious about how exactly they plan on stretching this out with two more sequels. All in all, it was a cliche, satisfying horror film that kept things fresh by using modern technology and pop culture to put a new spin on the series. Aside from the too long of an ending, I would most definitely recommend this to anyone who has been a longtime fan of the Scream franchise. My rating? I give it 9 out of 10. Again, my name is Brian Bonnet, and I thank you all for listening to the Splatter Section. Keep screaming, everybody. See you next time.